Hey, hit me!
Are you ready for the deadliest news, issues, comments, and people? Well, on now is National Talk Black with Trendy Trev, going live from BBM through the National Indigenous Radio Service. Give us a call now, 1-800-422-416. National Talk Black with Trendy Trev.
Yes, very good morning, your daily mob. Welcome back to your daily program, National Talk Black. It is I, Trevor Tim, Trendy Trev Murray from Macquarie, coming to you live from First Nation Radio Station here in Cairns on Yidinji Country as BBM Bumbaribrit Media, 98.7 FM. And we go across the nation thanks to NERS National Radio Service. Have your say in Yana Strong, 1-800-422-416. Now, TGA approves combined triple combo rapid antigen test for RSV, flu AB and COVID-19. With that, we're going to have a chat to Associate Professor Paul Griffin, Director of Infectious Disease at Mater Health Services. And on the line, Professor Paul, very good morning. How are you?
Yeah, good, thanks. Thanks for having me.
Thank you very much for coming to the program. Where are you based, Professor?
I'm based in Brisbane, so yeah, and glad to be able to talk to you about all this.
All right, fantastic. So just announced a new TGA-approved rapid antigen test will add respiratory syncytial virus, RSV, to the list of viruses Australians can self-test for with a single swab. So this is great news moving forward, yep?
Oh, absolutely. I mean, everyone will be familiar with how important the rapid antigen tests for COVID were, particularly at the height of the pandemic. But what's really clear is we're not just dealing with COVID now, we're dealing with the usual viruses that we saw before, and that includes respiratory syncytial virus, or RSV, as well as the flu. So, you know, a test that can test for all three readily and easily at home is really a big step forward, like this one by Touch Bio that was approved last week.
Well, we were talking about self-testing. Like I said, it helps everybody, gives the patient the heads up, so to speak, and it saves waiting rooms being clogged up with patients in line. So it's a good deal.
Oh, exactly right. Just as you say, it's really important that we find which virus people have. The management for these three viruses is quite different. We have good treatments for two of them. And what we recommend in terms of isolation and who to avoid contact with, et cetera, is a little bit different for them as well. So, you know, we've really gone past just finding out if people have COVID, yes or no. And the big danger now is people just do a COVID test and that's negative, so they're falsely reassured and they go back to work or school or what have you, and pass on their flu or RSV. So, you know, finding which of these viruses it is that's causing people's symptoms is really important, and so it's great we've got a single test now that people will be able to buy and do at home to find which virus they have.
And can the test be used by individuals of all ages, including children and the elderly?
Yeah, I believe it's 5 years of age and over, and, you know, it's pretty straightforward. It's very accurate and quite sensitive. So, you know, it really is a great test, and, you know, it's something that as people become more familiar with will really make a big difference to how we manage these viruses that will all be circulating at the same time this year probably. And so, you know, we are in for a pretty tricky time, and the more people we find that can give the right advice and treatment to, the better.
And how will the test be made available to consumers?
So a little bit like the rapid antigen test we saw last time. I mean, the really good thing about this test from Touch Bio is it's an Australian company, so we shouldn't see the same issues we saw with, you know, challenges getting them imported into the country, hopefully. So, you know, this will be distributed just like a lot of other rapid antigen tests through, you know, retail pharmacies and other businesses. You know, as it becomes more widely available, it should be something that's pretty easy to get hold of.
Oh, fantastic. And where can Australians go for to find out more about the situation?
Yeah, look, there's a lot of really good websites. I mean, the TGA in particular have got fantastic information about what rapid antigen tests are available, and they also monitor their performance, so you can find more information out there. So, yeah, certainly the TGA. But, you know, this test is manufactured by Touch Bio, and there's been quite a bit of information about it in the last week or so people can certainly look that up and keep an eye out for when it becomes more readily available.
Oh, fantastic. Thank you for the information and the update. Professor, all the best. You have a great day, and we'll talk soon.
Thanks very much. It was a pleasure. Thanks.
Bye-bye. A beautiful yarn, deadly yarn. Associate Professor Paul Griffin, Director of Infectious Disease at Mater Health Services. So just announced a new TGA-approved rapid antigen test will be add respiratory syncytial viruses, RSV, to the list of viruses Australians can self-test for with a single swab. And the self-testing nasal swab diagnosed three different viruses accurately within 15 minutes and developed by Touch Biotechnology. The combination test is available now and will help combat the spread of COVID-19, influenza A and B, and respiratory syncytial virus, RSV. So fantastic. Have you saying Yarn Up Strong? Add to the conversation here, National Talk Black. Deadly number here, 1-800-422-416.
Yeah. Sometimes when I'm out, I feel guilty.
I feel guilty.
And that kills me. I wanna shout, but I feel real weak. Still I keep on building. There's no doubt, times can be filthy. But I got a voice, so I will speak. My ancestors are here and they feel me. I get chills, G, and they always will be. Aboriginal land. That bright red sand, that dreamtime dance, an Aboriginal man. It's a cruel world that we're living in. I think it's about time to be giving in. But now they got a brother really wondering, what's this free stuff we're getting from the government? I'm still waiting for my free car, free money, free house, and all that other free stuff that they talk about. I keep quiet, but now I say it out loud. You ain't doing it right, you better switch your crowd. Time to make a change, all my people gon' shine. Standing up for what is right, it's that time. Cause we gon' make this place a better one, and connect the race together so we never run. Cause I'm sick and tired of running, like running for a change, but there's nothing. And right before I go to sleep, I'll be thinking so deep why this whole violation keeps coming. Cause when I'm out, I feel guilty.
I feel guilty.
And that kills me. I wanna shout, but I feel real weak. Still I keep on building. There's no doubt, at times can be filthy. But I got a voice, so I will speak. My ancestors are here and they feel me. I get chills, G, and they always will be. Aboriginal land, that bright red sand, that dreamtime dance, an Aboriginal man. Now, I was raised by a white woman who put food on my plate, and all I know is to love and not to hate. Mama taught me everything I know about my race. Over 60,000 years, yes, 60K, the First Nations of this land still exist today.
Still exist today.
And I appreciate to be black, and I'm proud, it's a gift I say. Now what happened in the past, I don't blame you. I just hope you understand and stay true, because it's still going on even though we all belong. I just wish we could change shoes, cause sometimes when I'm out I feel guilty, and that kills me. I get real weak, but I keep building. Times can get filthy, but you know I will speak. My ancestors here and they always will be.
Aboriginal land.
Always
will,
always
will be. That bright red sand.
Always will
be. That dreamtime dance.
Always will be.
An Aboriginal man.
G'day you mob, this is Tanya Kernaghan with Trendy Trev and you're tuned in to National Talk Black.
Call us now, 1-800-422-416.
Yeah, too deadly. That choppy number again is 1-800-422-416. Call that number. Yarn with yours truly, Trevor Tim, Trendy Trev Murray from McCurry. I'm your host for your daily program, National Talk Black. Come to you live from First Nation Radio Station here in Cairns on your Yidinji country, BBM Bumrabip Media, 98.7 FM. And we go across the nation thanks to NERS, National Radio Service. Yarn up strong, your mob too deadly. Now, Cooleman Community Charity packing essentials for expectant First Nations mums. A Northern New South Wales charity is delivering cribs to at-risk Indigenous mothers to support them in the days after childbirth. The cribs are filled with essential items to help a new mother prepare for motherhood. And we're going to catch up a yarn now with Evie Wood, co-founder and president of Cooleman Community, on the line. Evie, good morning. How are you, Evie?
I'm so good. How are you?
I'm well. Thank you very much for coming to the program. Where are you based?
I am on Arakwal Country.
All right, fantastic. And before we start, who your mob were you from, sis?
So I am a descendant of the Stolen Generation. My mum's gran was part of the Stolen Generation and my mum was also removed from her Aboriginal father off Arabana Country.
Yes. And so there it is, my dear. Thank you very much for that intro. Let's talk about this fantastic platform that your mob are doing.
Hello?
Cooleman Community. Can you hear me, Evie? Hello? You there, Evie? Oh, I lost Evie. I'll try and get Evie back. Phones are playing up. Sorry, your mob. Evie Wood, she's the co-founder and president of Cooleman Community. And look, we're talking about this fantastic Cooleman Community. Charity packing, essentials for expectant First Nations mums. So as I mentioned, Northern New South Wales charity is delivering cribs to at-risk Indigenous mothers to support them in the days after childbirth. But we'll get more on it when we talk to Evie. We'll just try and contact Evie again and continue that yarn. But stay tuned here, your daily program, National Talk Black, 1-800-422-416. I think we've got Evie there now. Evie, you there? Hello, Evie?
I am there. Yeah. Sorry I dropped out.
Yeah, all good, all good. We got you. So tell us about your Cooleman Community there, please.
So at Cooleman Community, we are trying to make a difference at the very start of life for a First Nations baby, and we do that through the gift of the Cooleman crib, which is basically everything that a mum and bub would need for the first 6 weeks of life, and that is given through the Aboriginal Health Service.
Fantastic. So how long has Cooleman Community been operating for?
Oh, we are very young. So we were established in 2021 and then we were able to give out our first cribs in February last year.
Tell us the effect you have on the mothers, new mothers with their newborn. How did this all come about?
So the effect that we've been informed is that it's life-changing. We feel really lucky that we've been able to provide this for mums, and we came about because, obviously, the Stolen Generation is something that is really raw and complex and close to my family's life personally. Mm. And then we realised that social workers and midwives in the area are working with First Nations mums. You know, they yes. always go above and beyond. And when they have mums that don't necessarily have all the bits and bobs that they need in preparation for having baby, they do their best to provide that. But really, that is kind of not what they're there for. So we thought, look, we can provide that and we can take this off their hands and leave them to focus on the health of mum and bub.
And look, it's a nice gesture. And when we're talking about First Nation, then we're talking about Cooleman, which is a First Nation dish, so to speak, for our babies and for food taking and our ancestors used to carry. It's a good bridge builder. It's a good connection, isn't it?
Exactly. We wanted something that represented nourishment, culture, celebration, and, the Cooleman just seemed like the logical choice in that.
Well, especially for first mothers, first time, it's daunting bringing a human into the world, you know, and how we go about it. And every support we need, it takes the community to raise a child. And it's fantastic that Cooleman Community are there from the beginning, from the get-go.
That's it. And it's really important that we are able to connect mum with culturally safe and culturally appropriate healthcare.
Yes.
I think that really does make all the difference. Yes, we are the material gift, and that's amazing, and we love giving that, but it's so much more than that.
So how's it working regarding the delivery of the Cooleman Community? You know which First Nation mothers to be in hospital or where they're about to deliver. Tell us about the process.
So we decided early on that it's not our place to set criteria or even be the people that meet the mums. we put that complete trust in the Aboriginal health services and the professionals that work in that space.
Yes. And so then they will deliver the Coolamon. Is that how it works?
Exactly. Okay, and cool. They can give that either in the second trimester, the third trimester, or even after baby's born. It just depends on when they engage with that mum and bub. Mm-hmm. And with the gift comes a whole heap of important conversations that you need to have
when
you're preparing for baby too.
And the Coolamon themselves, where they get made from? Who makes them?
So we designed everything in Australia in collaboration with First Nations midwives, so that was really important.
Cool.
We have them manufactured overseas, but that is just to make it a viable option to put in our crib.
Okay, fantastic. Well, congratulations. Thank you very much. I think it's a beautiful platform as such. Keep doing what you're doing. Big shout out to your mob, your team there, and to all our beautiful mothers.
Much.
Who bring in our beautiful babies into the world. Thank you very much, Evie.
That's it. Thank you for having me. Have a good day.
You too. Bye-bye.
Bye.
Adela Yande, Evie Wood, her name is, and she's the co-founder and president of Coolamon Community. And what they're doing is charity packing essentials for expectant First Nations mums and using Coolamon. So fantastic. To Deli, and give them a good start in regard to our babies. Have your say in Yarn Up Strong. Add to the conversation here. National Talk Black. And Deli number here is 1-800-422-416. Otherwise, text a brother 045-714-0550. And don't forget a Facebook page of BBM 987 FM. To Deli.
Little Jody, cousin Cody, and their best friend Ben. They used to play and pretend like they had money to spend, but in reality a dollar wasn't common for them. When daddy locked in a pen, the others gone from the start. Family's broken apart. Jody's mother used to beat him till his skin turned dark. His shit was bad and that grog made him sleep in the backyard with both of his dogs. That's why he started smoking, felt like his only escape. She used to beat him cause he only saw his father's face, but he was only a kid, 14 years old, trying to keep a warm heart in a world so cold. His cousin Cody didn't have it much better, but he was making that cheddar. However, he could but never forget where he came from. See, he had to be strong, cause his mother's getting sick and doesn't have too long. And so he had to step up, no relying on luck. He's robbing anyone he sees just to make a quick buck. Their buddy Ben wasn't known to be calm. First person that they thought of when they heard a car alarm. He was always in a daze, couple pills up in his palm. See, his mother was an addict with a needle in her arm. Yeah, the three shared that same struggle, destined for the hard life of getting into trouble when they did. On this particular day, Cody thought of an idea with guaranteed pay, but the plan to little Jody didn't seem okay. But his older cousin Cody just convinced him to stay. He told him this is what will separate the boy from a man. So he carried on and listened to the rest of the plan. He said, yo, it's really quite simple. Run up to the sec, he put that gun up to his temple. Right? And me and Ben will take the register. He makes a move, you take a shot and show him that you better, bruh. Okay, and so off they went. It was a long, quiet ride with a strong, sweaty scent. Little Jody was shaking up in his boots. He thinks if he shoots, then he might just compromise the loot. But it's too late for second thoughts. They all jump about the car, but it's the safe for the doors. And Jody cocks his gun, points to say to the guard. Says if you cooperate, then this don't gotta be hard. Says if you wanna go home, simply lay on the floor. Don't move until all of us are out of the door. Ben and Cody's got the money, everything seems smooth. Until he's seen that Seki's arm slowly start to move. But Jody can't pull that trigger. Instead he takes a bullet wound straight to his liver. And it was no surprise, they grabbed the money in a hurry, left him there to die. He doesn't wonder why, he just looks up to the sky and smiles in pride. He's happy he can finally die, cause he can never do it himself. He never thought that a soul would even dare to help. And so we pray that he rest in peace, but we're just happy that he finally made it out of the streets.
G'day, this is Guy Sebastian here, hanging up on our national talk rack, your big yarning show, BBM 98.7. I remember the day.
Murray from the Curry via BBM 98.7 FM, also NERS, National Indigenous Radio Service.
Trains, trains, get down in your trains, trains. The feeling never wanes. My long-term lifetime love affair with trains. My granddad and his mates were fiddlers on the line. They worked the tracks right across the state. And every now and then I talk to some old railway men, and they bring old granddad's stories back again. Trains, trains, get down in your veins. That rumbling diesel sound fills my dreams. Oh, trains, trains, the feeling never wanes. My long-term lifetime love affair with trains. My mother traveled far. She ran the dining car, and the rattle and the clatter and the heat. She'd work the northern train and head back south again. And sometimes I'd climb aboard and she'd take me. Oh, trains, trains, get down in your veins. That rumbling diesel sound fills my dreams. Oh, trains, trains, the feeling never wanes. My long-term lifetime love affair with trains.
Hey.
Now when my boy and I watch the locos thundering by, I know he'll sing his daddy's song one day. Trains, trains, get down in your veins. That rumbling diesel sound fills my...
Yeah, the daily voice of Troy Cassidy, Trains, here on your daily program, National Talk Black. Have you seen Jan Upstrong? 1-800-422-416. Yeah, Yana with the ball you want. Trevor Tim, Trendy Trev, Murray from the Curry. I'm your host for your daily program, National Tall Black, and live here at the First Nation Radio Station here in Cairns on New Dingy Country, BBM Bumber Rip Media, 98.7 FM, and across the nation thanks to NERS, National Radio Service. Namesake on the line, we have Trevor Peckham, my brother. Good morning.
Good morning, dear Nora family.
Big, how's, big shout out.
How's your day like? How's brother, the day like?
Brother's beautiful. Brother, life is beautiful. How are you? How are you traveling?
Yes, I've been feeling outstanding.
Good, exactly. We woke up this morning.
Handsome. Yes. And bulletproof.
And bulletproof. Brother, let the mob know who you mob, where you're from. Trev?
Yes, well, I'm a son of Buluru, country, east coast of Australia.
Yes.
And a community man of Cairns.
Yes.
And I do have a new business that we've put into place called Wirrawaka, Cultural Creative Services. Yes.
Okay, so tell us about your business. What do you do? What products do you have or produce you produce?
Well, our business name is made up from our two mothers, tribal groups.
Mm-hmm.
And being that it's about our mother country, we figured, wife and I, that naming our business after them would be suitable to what we deliver is, I guess, we call it putting spirit into colour.
Beautiful. I love
so
it.
We do art programs.
Yes.
We go and do social emotional well-being through our art.
Oh, beautiful.
And we lift joy into a part where people get to a level of joy that they say to me, they love it.
Yeah, beautiful.
And Bob Marley asked a question in a song.
Mm.
Could you be loved?
Yes.
Well, that's what Wirrawaka is asking.
That's beautiful. I got goosebumps. It's powerful, brother. There are a lot of people out there hurting in all facets of life. And we need to stop and smell the roses. You know, slow down a bit. Have a look at where we're at, and be in control of what we can be in control of. And don't worry about things that may happen, because 9 out of 10 it won't happen. You get your mind and your spirit together. 10. Yes, yes.
That's right, big bro. And I also heard from a few family members that there's a special saying that people say when they go to meetings, that you've got to be able to understand that you can never or almost unable to control the things that you are unable to control.
Mm.
But take responsibility and the joy in the ones that you can.
Yes.
Because they will bring you more joy, for one. And they bring you results of completions.
Mm.
And those stepping stones esteem yourself.
Mm-hmm.
So that you can get up the next day.
Exactly.
Get up at the moment and engage in the now current moment.
Mm.
And these are such necessary... I feel that old people of our yesterdays always passed it on, big bro.
Yep, yep.
But I have to say, since the COVID hit, it sort of made that connection COVID too.
It did, exactly. Turned our world upside down, didn't it?
Yes, my big bro. So we felt, wife and I, putting Wirra Wakka into a focus group where we can focus on the spiritual connection or colour, being number one language in the world, universally, art is the first language.
Yes.
And then number two language come from art. They call it movement. We like to call it dance.
Yep.
But I think me and you call it discotheque.
Shake your booty.
You know what, my big brother?
But,
hey, go to TT.
So it's a platform, brother. So
it's cool.
So do you do workshops, do you?
Yes. Mm. And we also do team building programs.
Okay.
So businesses, corporations and companies wish to do some team building exercises where they can maybe deliver some information to their employees or get them a bit more engaging with each other, make a prosperous, joyful engaging with each other. And have a purpose of them all being in one place with the finishing of a mural for their business.
Yeah, beautiful,
their company. They have a full visual symbology of completing something together.
Powerful,
as
brother.
One, as one group. Wirra Wakka can provide that opportunity.
Wakka, eh? So Wakka, that's W... how you spell that, Wakka?
W-I-R-R-A W... A double K A. Wirra Wakka.
Wirra Wakka.
So Wirra is for my mum. She's from the Wiradjuri.
Yes.
And Wakka is for wifey's mum, who is from Wakka Wakka.
Okay, beautiful. Wirra Wakka.
And those two are all on the same side
of
Buluru with a B.
Yes.
U L U R U. And that's the East Coast father's side.
Yeah.
And when you take the B off, you get this U, L, U, R, U, which is in the middle part called Uluru.
Mm.
That's the mother side. And together we feel that Uluru's ignite joy and creation pattern, nature, mother, also needs the strength of the mountain, Buluru. As to say, this the stone that gives the strength for the one to create. And that's what we love about Wirra Wakka.
Beautiful, brother.
Because
beautiful.
It's important, you know?
Yes.
And the other thing I wanted to touch base on, since I last spoke to you, my big bro, what's the heads up with the voice at the moment? What sort of references and feedbacks have you got about it at the moment? Because I haven't spoken to you for a couple of days.
Yeah, it's yay and nay. Yep, the voice to Parliament.
Yes.
Some of our mob are screaming out more for treaty first. But you can have a treaty any time. even though it's been a long time that we haven't had a treaty. Only first world country in the world that hasn't a treaty with its First Nation people. So Australia's way behind the black ball. Continue,
yes,
sorry.
Another thing that hasn't happened is a mob called the Itali family. He said to me that, Trevor, have you ever, talking as a people, conciliate with the ones who conquered you? And I said, interesting question. I have only always heard Reconciliation Day.
Yep. And that came from apology back in 2008.
And he said to me, but did you conciliate first, Trevor? Because to reconciliate means that you've come to an acknowledgement through the conciliation.
True.
So, interesting.
Very.
But I'm not a high learned from the learnings of university. You know that, my big bro.
We are professors in life.
Well, they said that I can go and apply for honoraries.
Mm.
But I'm unable to have the language of English base to ever engage it. They knocked me back by 2 points.
Yeah.
Due to my, they said grade 10 or 9 years is my education when they tested.
Mm.
And I come from the school of Mariba.
Yep.
Primary and to state school, to high school, Mariba. Finished grade 12 with my certificate. The reason why, my big bro, was they said, if you turn up every day, Trevor, they will still give you that certificate.
Yeah.
So I did, my big bro.
Attendance.
Always.
To deliver. Yeah.
And beautiful. I still keep that today. Because
yes.
If the policy belonged to our way, just turn up, son. It's more important. And that's the whole point of it. And my big bro, and you know, just to be clear again, family, I do not wish to extinguish the traditional language of the name of this land we walk on.
Sure.
Buluru.
Yes.
And Uluru, the home of the Nandi of this people of this land. We've never ever seen a monkey. We've never ever painted a monkey. We never ever danced in a monkey dance.
Mm.
It tells that resonation value for why it's important. Is because if we come from Indonesia or that trade walk line that they talk about, then the only thing that they said you would ever carry with you, Trevor, when you leave your homeland, that you couldn't tangibly carry with you because it'll be too heavy for the distance. But the thing you can carry with you that always made you feel safe, know where you belong and strengthen your spirit is called your religion.
Your religion. Mm.
So, on that note, I said, well, why is that important to me? And the professor said, because, Trevor, if you come from those people's cornerstone of their religion is the Monkey King. So, if you were from them, you should have some cornerstone in your history of the Monkey King. He's never even heard of them.
Mm.
Never seen one. Don't even know what I'm talking about, Trip. I said, correct.
Mm.
So to the learners out there, you got to stop telling everyone that we need to reschool you. Because there's no more reschooling at all, ever again. Because you already know the truth. With Australia, the Bama of this land, Buluru, are conscious raisers of every tribe of this world. Of Mother Earth. We've always will be and always will continue to be the conscious raisers of the people of this whole universal world, Earth. So it's important to understand that the people of the blood of this land, good ways, if you hadn't put a boat at the front and you said to all the Nandi, please board the boat. Why? Because we're going to send you back to where your home is, your belongings, your origin of your blood.
Yeah.
Now, tell me, where's the boat going, big bro?
Back to the homeland. Back to their homeland.
Well, where's the homeland? If the Aborigines of this land are only being and born here, where are they going to?
Well, we're the owners of the land.
So they're going nowhere, big bro. Boat is the city. But to other people who are born indigenous, Australia, which means the baby was in the belly of a mother. She carried it to the land and then she birthed it on the land. or born to the land, Indigenous.
Mm. Mm.
So those ones, if I put them on the boat, there's an origin that that ship can go to, Mardi Gras. That's what the professors told me.
Yep.
And I found that so interesting. And it only came to me a couple of weeks ago. This is why I wish to ring you up today, Mardi Gras.
Well, we are students for life and need to travel with an open mind, open heart, well, open spirit,
that's
brother.
That's part of our conscious awakenings of Australia.
Exactly. Awakenings, yes.
The whole point here, Big Bro, they told me also is that Australia is 365 days in daylight at all times of the year, 365 days.
Mm.
Even in winter, you still have 12 hours of daylight.
Yeah, brother, yeah, yeah.
And I said, well, why is that necessary to know? He said, because the rest of the world, take, for example, very north of the world, up in parts of Russia, possible to have no sunlight for 9 months.
Mm, exactly.
Complete daylight. For 3 months, Trevor.
And here we've got blue skies, beautiful sunshine. My brother, I got to go to the next caller, brother.
Yes.
But no, please keep in touch. Congratulations with your new business.
Yes.
Want to know
and
more?
Let's engage, please, contact. On the website, all there, ready to go.
Thank you, brother.
And look, with the love and the joy of the Spirit, amen.
One love,
have a blessed day, family.
Thank you, brother. Trevor Peckham there having his say, yarn up strong and talking about his new business, him and wifey. Big shout out, Olivia. This is your daily program, National Talk Black. Have your say and yarn up strong. And we're going to catch up with yarn with Chris Croker, member of the First Nations Clean Energy Network. Clean energy transition strategy could keep the lights on in Australia's Indigenous communities. Let's have a chat to Chris on the line. Chris, good morning. How are you?
Good morning. How are you?
Chris, I'm well, thank you. Before we start, let the mob know who you mob. Where you from, Chris?
Hey, yeah. So I'm born and raised in the Territory. My mob, Larija, from the Central Desert, west of Alice Springs.
Yes. And we're talking about clean energy transition strategy could keep the lights on in Australia's Indigenous communities. So remote communities can be cut off for weeks when the rivers start running in West Australia, with residents forced to rely on diesel and generations for electricity. So clean energy transition is the way to go, Chris.
It definitely is, yeah. As you say, like many of our families and communities, particularly in remote regions, you know, they regularly have the power disconnected and you know, the diesel to run generators run out, or there's river rising and flooding, and then roads are cut. But I also always think about our families in, you know, the metro regions as well, in the cities, where, you know, we just can't afford, you know, to pay our electricity bill, or up in north where families are on prepayment meters and, you know, they're constantly running out of credit. And it's really, really difficult to keep the lights on, keep the fridge cool, you know, keep the fans running.
Exactly. And that's sad when we're in the 21st century, you know. And now I always say that it's sad because a lot of our First Nation Aboriginal communities remotely, as we live in a first world country, but our people live in third world standards.
Oh, that's right, yes.
You know?
It's really sad. Like, I always talk about my personal situation. I'm 50 years old now.
Okay, but.
And I remember, you know, you know, growing up as a kid, and I actually don't think, you know, much of our living conditions have changed in that 50 years that I've been alive.
There it is.
Some of
there
our
it
family.
Is. Exactly. And you're speaking from experience.
Yeah, definitely, definitely, yes. Yeah. And, you know, as I said, I'm from the Territory, and, you know, my family live in remote settings there. But even our families living in the town camps around Alice here, and I'm phoning in from Alice today.
Okay.
You know, living in town camps or... you know, some of the conditions are not the best, you know, affordability with the rising cost of living, you know, price of food, petrol keeps going up, electricity costs go up, and, you know, it becomes really difficult to, you know, keep the lights on, keep the fridge cool.
There's a statement here in your paper here saying you can actually have 100 megawatt or $200 million investment going on down the road supplying all this power, but then just literally down the road, sometimes across the fence, we actually have remote houses who are still getting disconnected, and that's sad.
It's very sad. It's unjust and not fair. You know,
exactly.
We should say for what it is. So some of the work that I'm doing, and I'm part of this First Nations Clean Energy Network.
Yeah, because you're a member of the First Nation Clean Energy Network, aren't you, Chris?
Yeah, that's right. You know, we thought, you know, that we need to, you know, bring our voices together and, you know, skills and expertise and experiences And really help try to support, you know, our communities, whether they're in far north Queensland or down west or in the centre here. You know, we've all experienced similar situations where, you know, we've got rising more projects getting developed on our traditional country, or, you know, we're living in towns and just needing to keep the lights on.
Yeah.
You know, electricity is a vital part of this world that we live in now.
Of course.
Even my family, we live in the central desert, so we use electricity to run our electric bore, which is solar powered. We filter the water because to make it a bit more taste better so we can drink it.
Yeah.
And, you know, even water, we need the electricity. So electricity is a big part of our life. Of course, we use it for our telecommunications and computers, keep the TV on, and, yeah, all of those things, you know, really necessities in this.
And they are necessity. Electricity is necessity in the modern world. And that might be being cut off, you know.
Yeah.
It's ridiculous. And more power to you, partner punt, my brother. More power to you and the First Nations Clean Energy Network. Look, it's a way to go to keep the lights on in Australia's Indigenous communities, brother.
It is, yeah. This is the way. And we've got this really exciting opportunity where the network, you know, small and not-for-profit, we're now working with the federal government to co-design the First Nations Clean Energy Strategy, which will be a national policy piece.
Yes.
Which will help, you know, try to address some of these problems. You know, and I talk about there's three things we're really trying to do. We, you know, look at what the issues are, the barriers, and really raise that community voice. So we make sure that, you know, our Aboriginal Torres Strait Islander families are at the front and centre of this renewable energy transition that we MC. You know, we've got solar projects, wind projects, and these big large ones which I mentioned, you know, the 100 megawatt solar project down the road. You know, that's happening now, and we'll see more and more of those happen as, you know, the country tries to fight climate change and do this transition to reducing carbon dioxide pollution, or what they call net zero,
and
make sure that we don't pollute the environment.
Yeah. Looking after Mother Earth, brother.
Other thing that, of course, we have to, you know, we've always been here. You know, this is our country. You know, I know with my own family, you know, we our association with being a Luridja comes from our association with country. So, you know, if we don't look after country, you know, I don't know, we'll be lost people. So,
exactly.
And of course, our mobs and families living on, you know, the coastal areas or, on the islands, you know, they're facing issues with rising sea levels down in the centre here, you know.
Exactly.
I know a couple of years ago we had over 130 days where temperature was above 35 degrees.
Yeah.
And then it was something like 40 or 50 days where it was above 45 degrees. And as we know, when you start getting heat like that, it's, you know, it's very hot. It's difficult for our kids.
Exactly.
You can't go outside and play. Difficult for the elders, you know.
But that shows you that global climate is real, eh, Chris?
Well, I think it is. And, you know, I'm not a climate activist or something.
It is what it is, yeah? There's some changes going on. Mother Earth is hurting.
Something's happening. Mm. And, you know, we know just around the country, just before, over the last year, you remember? They had, like, how many floods did we have
floods,
down in Queensland?
Exactly.
Yep. And this year, we've had flooding in north Western Australia, across the Territory and the Top End, and then some into Queensland as well. It's like every year there's this like once-in-a-thousand-year flood going on. It's like, well, it can't be once-in-a-thousand-year.
Or heat.
It's happening every year.
Fire. Exactly, my brother. Yeah. Well, you're doing your bit there regarding First Nation Clean Energy Network. Congratulations there, brother. And other First Nation members on board, bro?
Oh, yeah, heaps. So, like the not-for-profit, the First Nations Clean Energy Network, we have, you know, over 200 members, and they're all Aboriginal Torres Strait Islanders.
Good.
They sign up, you know, add their voice to make sure that it's being heard. There's a whole bunch of resources that we have available to help communities understand more about clean energy, you know, how do they, you know, work with these big developers that's coming and knocking on their door and trying to, you know, get them to sign up to help working with them to develop these big projects. I want to make sure that when those conversations or negotiations happen, our people are informed.
Yes.
So that we're negotiating from, you know, a knowledgeable power base, you know, not sure. just making the first offer and maybe making some compromises that get given to us.
But you got a voice on a smaller scale. We're talking Voice to Australia, but you got a voice in the clean energy space.
We do, yeah, definitely. And particularly, you know, we're doing a lot of work with the feds, as I mentioned, around the new national strategy, which we've just concluded our second round table, listening to community
Good.
Concerns and opportunities in the Northern Territory.
Yes.
We ran a big one up in the Pilbara and listening to Pilbara and Kimberley mob in WA. And then I think in 4 weeks' time or so, we're across in Queensland. So we're making our way around the country, consulting with community, you know, sitting down, listening, giving...
the old ways, brother, the yarning circle.
Well, it's the modern, you know, I know with this COVID situation that we had, you know, we got this now, this like Zoom.
Example there, that, you know, that's another way, yeah.
Circle. Exactly. It's like,
hey, and brother, you need electricity for that.
We do, definitely, yeah. But I think this is a real opportunity for our mob, you know.
I think so too.
Otherwise, if we don't get in front of it, all of these developments and opportunities, then we'll just get left behind, you know.
Yeah. When we're talking about Voice to Australia, we're talking about small voices, well, voices on all levels, on all industries.
Many voices.
We should be at the table with all conversations in regarding Australia moving forward. Well, black faces need to be at the table as well. Black voices, brother. Yes. All facets.
All
industries.
Definitely, yeah. And I think we need to, because of course we've got a lot of experience, you know, managing culture, family,
yes.
country.
We've got a lot to offer, a lot to bring to the table.
World, we've got all this. Yeah, we've got all these modern issues with electricity, water, IT, and things like that. So we need to be, learn a bit more ourselves, you know, work together, share the stories amongst ourselves in that yarning circle.
Yeah.
So that we can, you know, build each other up and help each other, you know, to understand, to be powerful advocates for the projects that are coming to our country.
Yes.
So that we don't, you know, we don't take deals, take negotiations that aren't in our best interest.
Mm.
That we are really being, ready to act, ready to have
exactly.
a say, and really to raise our voice. Yeah.
Brother, you sound like a motivational speaker, Chris.
Oh, I don't know about that. You've inspired me. Coming from the desert here, you know, we're very quiet people, you know. We take that long-term generational type outlook on life, I think, you know.
Yeah, well, I'm Murray from Recurry, desert rat too, brother, so, you know, but we are here in the 21st century and we are speaking for our mob, my brother.
Yeah, and we need, to share this message, you know, don't be afraid of these solar wind projects. We can harness that, government policy, all of these investment dollars, all of these jobs that are coming. But we want, you know, our voice, you know, our share of the opportunities. You want this, what we call a just transition, not just transitioning electricity. We want our rights to be respected, our culture to be protected and kept strong, employment opportunities for our young fellas and women.
Exactly.
And really being, you know, proactive.
Yes.
And, looking forward to opportunities and also the things that, you know, clean energy and solar, cheaper power, you know, what can that mean for our families?
Exactly.
And, you know, our businesses and stuff. I reckon it's the way, yeah.
We can be active in the white man world, so to speak. My brother, very good yarn with you. Chris, thank you very much. Big shout out to all the members. Keep doing what you're doing. First Nation Clean Energy Network. And, it's the way to go, brother.
Yeah, thank you. Yeah, great to yarn today. I spent a lot of time going to school and university, and I'm in Queensland, and many Maori friends. So, you know, I'm shout out to the mob up north. And
you've got a Maori friend here, Cuss.
As well.
Big shout out, my brother. You take care, Chris.
Yeah, thank you. Thanks for letting me have a bit of a say.
Thanks, brother. Bye-bye. Little Jan there, that's Chris Croker, and he's a member of the First Nation Clean Energy Network. Trendy Trev got a sign off for today. Thank you very much for your company, mob. Stay black, stay deadly, stay strong. And back next week, Monday, 1-800-422-416. Take care, stay safe, and we'll yarn soon. Too deadly.